right, let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. And what a great place to be on Sunday morning. So thankful to be in God's house. What a privilege it is to serve God in any capacity. I know many of you all do, but what a privilege. What a privilege and to serve the Almighty God. I was reading this week in a book, and they were talking about Acts. They said, if you can't get excited about Acts, and you can't get excited about anything, because Acts is the church as it in its new birth. And man, this has been an exciting series in Acts. Looking forward to today's message. We'll read verse 25 in Acts chapter 27. And it says this, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, and we come, Lord God, as humble servants. Lord God, you've done it all. And Lord, we come here for another week. Lord God, I hope we don't take that for granted, Lord God, as we think about those that, Lord, have gained their eternal reward, Lord God, for the life they've served, Lord God. We think of Donnie Reb and his family. We think of Miss Yancey, Lord God, and just, Lord, that those that have moved on to heaven, Lord God, and we so thank you, Lord. The Bible says that we may know that we have eternal life. Lord, they knew they had eternal life. And Lord God, they're enjoying heaven today, not because of anything that they did, no works, no nothing, Lord God, but because you shed your precious blood on Calvary. Lord God, that anyone that's in this building today, Lord God, they can also accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they can know that they have eternal life. God, there's no better promise than that. Lord God, in the whole world, there's no better promise than that Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again, will take us to heaven. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you for this place. Lord, you are such a good God. And Lord, as we come here this morning, Lord, to hear from you, Lord God, we pray that your hand would be upon this place. We pray the Spirit, Lord, I believe he's already here, Lord. The Holy Spirit's already come down, the music service. But Lord God, when Jesus comes, things happen. And Lord God, we pray that you would come down here this morning, Lord God, work in a real way in people's hearts and lives. Those that aren't saved, Lord God, to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And those that are saved, Lord God, to go out from here and live for you. God, be with the message this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. Man, appreciate our music this morning. Man, great job on everything. And Joanna, great job on that offertory with Mrs. Hayes on the piano and Joanna on the flute. I love our instrumentalists and those that men are learning to play instruments. We went when we went to college, took Josiah and dropped him off. One of his roommates has a guitar. Another roommate we saw had a banjo and a mandolin. And so when we went back up a few weeks later, Josiah said, "Can you bring my violin?" Although they're starting a bluegrass band, he's going to be playing the fiddle and that thing. But anyway, so they got the whole room, man. They're ready to go. So thank you for that. Thank you for that, Joanna. And our choir. My choir's doing a great job. And I know, because of some of the ones we've had out and out of town and all that, and we're missing some people number-wise. But, man, our choir's been doing an outstanding job. Thank you for that. And then our quartet, as Mr. Hayes said, we get a new favorite song, right, all the time. But that is one of my favorites. I'm just telling you, it is hard for me to get through the part of asking the question, why should I not be put in hell to suffer for all time? And there's only one answer, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad there is an answer. I'm glad there's an answer for that. But man, that's just a wonderful, wonderful song. So thank you, quartet. What a blessing this morning. We could just close up and go home, right? And somebody said, that sounds like a really good idea. But we are going to preach this morning, all right? In Acts chapter number 27, Acts chapter 27, and we read verse 25, and we're here in the end, really, of the book of Acts. In this last couple of chapters we've been going through on Sunday mornings, the book of Acts, and the last few weeks, last 3 weeks, 3 weeks we spent in Acts 26, and the response of Paul as he gets an opportunity to give his testimony And just gives exactly what God has done in his life. And, you know, it is, sometimes you can get a little bit discouraged, but it's somewhat encouraging to see what Paul had to deal with. I mean, Paul gets up and he preaches his heart out, right? And he tells exactly what, and does everything possible, humanly possible, to share the gospel with those who are listening to him. And yet, as we finish chapter number 26, we see no salvations, right? No salvation. Now, it doesn't mean, I don't know what happened later on. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But Paul here is moving on, and now what he knows is coming comes to fruition as we get to chapter 27. In fact, let's look at the first few verses there of chapter number 27 and talk about that for just a couple minutes. Look at verse number 1. Verse number 1 of Acts number 27. And as Paul is making his way here, they're going to move him from where he is in the prison there to Rome. So look at verse number 1. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adramidium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian, Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And so Paul here is being moved to Rome. They're going to Rome eventually, and we talked about this in his testimony. And then even at the end of last week, we mentioned this as Agrippa and Festus were conferring amongst themselves. Paul was headed to Rome. He's headed to Rome, and so he's given an opportunity here, and they're going to take him as well as other prisoners to Rome. But as he goes, we see something that takes place with those around him. Julius there is the centurion in verse number 6. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. So he puts Paul and those who are traveling with him on this ship. Look at verse number 7. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone, and hardly passing it came to a place which is called the Fair Havens, now whereunto is the city of Lycia. In verse number 9. Now when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said to them, Sirs, I perceive this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of ship, but also of our lives. So we get here, and Paul gives some instruction. Now Paul's a prisoner, right? But he speaks up and he gives some instruction to those that are in charge of this voyage, and says, listen, let me just give you some advice here, some counsel. I wouldn't go on this trip. It's not going to be profitable. In fact, there's going to be loss because of this. And I want you to see something this morning. We read the verse, and Brother Jason read for us, and we're going to get to that at the end where Paul says, I believe God. But I want you to think about this morning. Do we really believe what God says? Do we really believe what the Word of God says? Is that something that is evident in the way that we live our lives? Because we're going to run into a group of people here who do not. And we'll see some things that they believe rather than. So Paul gives them counsel. He gives them truth. And look what happens. We have the first thing here in verse number 11. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. So the centurion, the one that's in charge, believes the master and owner of the ship. You say, well, why wouldn't he, right? They're the ones that sort of know what they're doing. They're the ones that are in charge. They're the ones that have the expertise. Let me tell you this morning, what happened to them is what can happen to us if we're not careful. They believe the wisdom of the world over the Word of God. Hey, this morning, I don't care if you're how long you've been a Christian. If you start to follow the wisdom of the world instead of the Word of God, you can get yourself in trouble. And this group of people here said, hey, these people seem to know what they're doing. They have an expertise. Let me listen to them. Now, I'm not telling you this morning that every time you need to get something fixed around the house, all right, you don't hire somebody that's an expert in that area. We understand that. We're trying to get work done. I tell you who, don't call me to do it, all right? Don't call me to do it. So I'm not saying you don't use somebody's knowledge but I am telling you this, do not follow the wisdom of the world over the Word of God, ever. You do that, you're going to find yourself in trouble. And we have here, Paul's giving them instruction, and they believe the master and the owner more than what Paul said, more than Paul as he admonished them. And look at verse number 12. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix and there to winter. They not only believe the master and the owner, the experts, this also gets you in trouble. They believe the majority opinion over the Word of God. Hey, the majority said the more part, a greater number said you need to go ahead and depart. You need to go ahead and leave. And so they believe what the majority said. Hey, this morning, I'm not as interested in what the majority says. I'm interested in what the Word of God says. That's what I want to know. Hey, and be careful of that. We got elections coming up here in a couple weeks. We've got a lot of state elections here, local elections coming up here in just a few weeks. And then, of course, we're heading into a presidential election cycle here in the next year. Let me tell you something. Don't go by the majority opinion. I don't care how many politicians say a 15-week ban or a 6-week ban or you got to compromise a little bit to get some votes. No, abortion is still wrong. It's still murder. I don't care what they say. I don't care if the majority, I don't care if somebody said, well, I'm going to lose an election. No, you stand for what's right. That's what you stand for. Doesn't matter what the majority says. And the majority here say, we need to, oh, no, I'm not following the wisdom of the world. I'm not following what the majority would say. Not only do that, look at verse number 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. And I begin to think of how many times this has happened in my life. When a south wind blows softly. Hey, when you're trying to make a decision and all of a sudden things sort of open up, you say, man, that must be, circumstances are sort of working their way around. That must be what I'm supposed to do. Hey, be careful. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Hey, what do we really believe when it comes to the Word of God? Ephesians chapter 4. Young people, be careful of this. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 14. That we henceforth, Ephesians 4, 14, that we henceforth be no more children. You know, there has to come a time where we grow up a little bit, right? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, there was a time when I thought as a child, I spake as a child, but then I understood as a child, but then I became a man, I put away childish things. Hey, there's a time to grow up spiritually speaking. And we're supposed to have faith as a child, yes. But we shouldn't act like a child. We henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Hey, young people, let me tell you something. You're not careful. You don't have a solid foundation when it comes to the Word of God. You'll be carried about. Every little wind that blows, oh, I think I'm going to go that way or this way or this way. Hey, the south wind came up back in Acts chapter number 27. And I thought about this, how many times in my life have I, back in Acts chapter 27, in verse number 13, supposing they had obtained their purpose, how many times have I supposed, hey, I'm just thinking this is probably where I should go. Hey, don't follow the winds of circumstances. Don't follow the circumstances that change around you. Man, it doesn't matter what the majority says. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. I've got to rely on God's Word. I read this week. That the Supreme Court of India, if you all saw this, the Supreme Court of India would not recognize same-sex marriage. India is now the most populous country in the world. It's past China, I believe it was in April of this year. Then there's now more, population-wise, there's more in India than any other country in the world. By the way, this is interesting. This has nothing to do with the message. But the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of India said this court can't make law, it can only interpret it and give effect to it. Man, that's interesting, huh? This court can't make law. But they said they're not going to legalize same-sex marriage. They want the parliament to do that. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter if the Congress, if the Supreme Court, if ever they legalize same-sex marriage, it's still not marriage in God's eyes. Marriage is one man, one woman. That's what it's supposed to be according to God. I can't go by the majority opinion. I can't go by what it seems like the winds are blowing this direction or that direction. No, I have to believe what the Word of God says. And this group of people began to follow instead of the Word of God, the wisdom of the world. So many times we trust in our riches, in our expertise, in the circumstances more than we do God and His Word. They believe the wisdom of the world over the Word of God. And I'll tell you why it's so dangerous to do that, because look at what happens next. Look at verse number 20. Verse 20. And we'll read the verses prior to that in just a minute. But verse 20 gets us to the end of what happens here. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. We go from supposing that their purpose was man, they could fulfill what they wanted to do, to all hope being gone in just about six verses. You know why? Because they feared the circumstances of life more than trusting God. You know what happened to their circumstances? They changed. You begin to trust in circumstances. You begin to trust in worldly wisdom. Those things are going to change. Hey, the wisdom of the world changes. Some of you, I've mentioned this before. Mom's here this morning, and I believe this is right. Was it the... I know most of us that are born, they put you to sleep, right? When she had children. All right, that's why I'm the way I am, all right? So who knows? But, you know, there was a time when they would do that. They would do that. There was a time, those of you who have had children, you know, they're supposed to put them on their back, and they're supposed to put them on their stomach, you're supposed to put them on their side, whatever. It just changes, right? It changes. Worldly wisdom changes. This causes cancer, and then this causes cancer, and now this that you thought could prevent cancer was actually causing cancer. It changes and changes and changes. We begin to trust in the wisdom of the world, those circumstances. If your belief in God is based on what circumstances you're in right now, those circumstances are going to change. And look what happens in one verse. Verse number 13, the south wind blew softly. Verse 14, but not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Guess what? The wind changed. Hey, the wind changed. And that soft wind became a tempest, became a storm. And all the circumstances that they were dealing with changed. And so what happens? Because of that change, they begin to fear what's going on around them. In verse number 14, they see that tempestuous wind. Verse 15, the ship was caught, could not bear up into the wind. Verse 16, we had much work to come by the boat. Verse number 17, They're working there. They're fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands. Verse 18, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. The third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. They lost things because they trusted in the expertise of man and the wisdom of man rather than the Word of God. Their faith and their hope change when their circumstances change. That cannot be true for us as Christians. We have to stay true to the Word of God. Look what it says there in verse number 20. We read, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Why? No sun, no stars for many days. Some of you, maybe you felt like that, right? You've been in a storm. It feels like there's been no sun or stars for several days. Day after day, there's darkness. Day after day, and maybe not literally, but spiritually, or emotionally, or figuratively for you, day after day, there's darkness. Man, it just seems like one after another, after another, after another. But you know what? This morning, when you're going through that, it doesn't mean all hope has to be gone. This group of people, they said all hope was gone, and what they had trusted in, what they believed, did not come to pass. So verse number 25 that we read at the beginning, Paul said this, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Paul believed God, and Paul believed the Word of God. Here's a couple things Paul believed. Verse number 24, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. He says, verse 23, an angel of God came and said, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Here's the first thing Paul believed, thou must be brought before Caesar. Paul believed this. He believed God had a plan for his life. Let me tell you something this morning. God has a plan for your life. Paul believed God had a plan. Now, do I know everything in God's plan for me? No. Do I know what's going to happen in the next year, next week? No. But I know God has something He wants me to do. He's got a plan for me. I believe that. I believe that. And Paul believed God had a plan for him. And so as Paul trusted what God said, he believed in God's plan for him. By the way, let me tell you this, verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve.
Hey, it wasn't just anybody. No, Paul said, this is the God that I serve. Let me tell you, you don't serve God like you should. Don't expect God to take care of you. I was telling you this morning. You say, hey, God, I'll get to you when I have time. Hey, I'm glad you're there. I've got my own life. And then trouble comes and you want God to take care of you. Let me tell you something. Paul had a confidence in God because he knew he was serving God. It was his God that he was serving. And so Paul, as he serves God, he believed God had a plan for him. And as he believed God had a plan for him, he also says in verse number 24, lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. He believed God would not only protect him, but those with him. Isn't it interesting? The only reason those men were saved is because they were with Paul. Because of the crowd they happened to be around, and isn't it sort of the antithesis of what happens in Jonah, right? Where they have to throw Jonah out to save themselves. Now they've got to keep Paul. In fact, we'll find out later on. We won't get to it this morning. But if they let Paul out of there, they're in trouble. And so because Paul is there, God protects them as he's protecting Paul because of his plan for Paul. You want to make sure you're around those that are doing right too, right? Was it Dr. Curtis Huston said he's afraid of flying? And one of his friends said, look, he said, you shouldn't be afraid of flying. He said, when it's your appointed time, that's when you're going to go. He says, well, I'm not worried about all that. He said, but what if it's that pilot's appointed time, right? That's what I'm worried about. All right. So, hey, I don't know when your appointed time is, but I know this group here, they were saved because of who they were with. They were with Paul. They were with Paul. And Paul believed God had a plan for him. He believed God would protect him. And this is great as we close up in verse number 25. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Paul believed what God had told him. I ask you this morning, do you believe what God's told you? Do you believe what God has said in His book? Do you believe the truth of God's Word? Hey, do you believe what the Bible says about marriage, about the home, about child rearing? I was talking to somebody recently, not somebody who goes to church here. And I totally understand what I'm saying. I got four children of my own. And they were saying, yeah, we don't really spank our children because of the world around us. I understand it. I understand. I've been in a store. Those kids are misbehaving. Not any of the ones that are here today. All right, they're misbehaving. And you want to, certain things you want to do, right? And so, but you know you're in public. So you just leave them in the store. No. Let them take care of them. But if I tell you this, if the Bible tells me as it does that I'm supposed to discipline my children with the rod, I can't let the opinion of the world change what I'm doing when it comes to my children. I can do what's right. Hey, just because the world doesn't think this is the way a home should be doesn't change what I do. No, I have to go by God's Word and what God's Word says. And that's not popular. That's not majority opinion. I'm sorry. Now, if it is, that's great. But I've got to believe what He said, what I've been told. What does the Bible say? God says, I am the Lord. I changed not. I read in my Bible reading this week, Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 8. I love these kind of memory verses because they're so short. But what does it say? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hey, I believe what God's Word says. Hey, as I heard the quartet sing this morning, you know the reason I can answer that question with it's through the blood? Because my Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, there's no forgiveness of sins. And my Bible says I don't go to heaven by works, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Hey, I know I'm going to heaven because of Jesus Christ. I believe God. I believe Him. Hey, this morning, do you really believe? I hope you do for salvation. But once you're saved, do you really believe what God's Word says? Over the wisdom of the world, over the majority opinion, Paul says, I believe what God said. Do you believe it this morning? Father, I pray that You'd help us as we listen to the words of Paul during this time. Lord, facing a storm, a real storm. Not a emotional storm, but a physical storm. Lord, Paul, in a place where loss of life was imminent. And yet, he still believed the Word of God. Lord, I pray this morning, we would not be affected by the circumstances, by the wisdom of the world around us, by the expertise of those who know what they're doing in this area. But Lord, help us to rely on the Word of God, to believe it and to live like it. Lord, so we go out in a... Lord, as we believe what God's Word says, then we can be of good cheer. Lord, we don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to be down. We can be of good cheer. And as Paul was in this passage, Lord, not only be of good cheer ourselves, but exhort others to be of good cheer. Lord, the reason we can have a hope is because of what the Word of God says. Lord, we don't have to live like the world in this passage where hope is gone. No, we can be of good cheer. You said you've overcome the world. And so, Lord, this morning, help us not to walk out of this place discouraged and down. No, help us to understand, because the Word of God is true, we can be of good cheer. We can share with others the truth of God's Word. We can know where we're going when we die. What a great thing that we can be in God's house and not have to be discouraged about it. We can be excited about what you're doing. So work in our hearts this morning, Lord. Help us to believe what the Word of God says. And help it to make us where we're sharing what you've done with the world around us that needs it, Lord, that needs the Word of God. Lord, I pray that someone here not saved, help them trust you today in Jesus' name. Everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed this morning. Nobody looking around. Let me ask you this. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven this morning? We had two this week that passed away that are friends and family of those that we care about and love. And let me tell you something. This week, as they slipped from this earth and went to heaven, it's not because they thought they were going to heaven or because they were good enough. No, it's because there was a time, there was a day when they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Hey, we're all going to face it at some point. Do you believe the Word of God when it comes to salvation? You're here this morning and say, listen, I know for sure I'm saved. If I was to die right now, I know I'd go straight to heaven, not because of my works, because of Jesus Christ. If you could say this morning, you slip in up like I'm doing, you can put your hand right back down. Thank you. Here this morning, you say this, say, I don't know for sure I'm saved. They say, well, I think I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. I'd like to go to heaven. I'm pretty sure I will. That's another question this morning. Is it, do you know for sure? That if you were to die today, you spend eternity in heaven. No greater decision you'll make. If you're here this morning and say, listen, I'm just not too sure about that, or I don't know exactly what you're talking about, but I'd like to have you pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I would never do that. I wouldn't call you out at all. But if you do this morning, you just slip here and say, pray for me. I'm just not sure about my salvation. If you're not sure, you get that taken care of. Then if you're saved this morning, do you believe the Word of God? Hey, if you do, we can be of good cheer, right? We can be of good cheer because God's got a plan for us, a purpose for us. Make sure we're living for Him today. Not following the worldly wisdom, not following circumstances, but no, believing what God says. The music plays this morning. You come forward as the Lord spoke to you.
Good, man. So glad to have you with us. Be back tonight if you can. We've been going through the last few weeks. Let's see. A couple weeks ago, we did the center of your daily life should be the house of God, and then the center of your home. Last week should be the Word of God, and we'll do one more tonight. So be back for that, 6 o'clock. And then, man, enjoy the weather today. We've got, I appreciate our bus workers. We've got pumpkins on the bus today, all right? So everybody that can gets a pumpkin. So those that may want to ride the bus home just to get a pumpkin, all right? Maybe you can see if you can get a ride. But anyway, so thank you to our bus workers, all they do. And have a great day. Keep those in prayer that we mentioned. And we'll get Mr. Myers to do a bunch of closing prayer.